RadioStPete.com presents Job Talk with Dean Logan. Job Talk with Dean Logan is presented in part by Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast. Eagle Datagistics, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, in downtown St. Petersburg, it's Eagle Datagistics. Now, let's go live to our studio on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg, the offices of Eagle Datagistics. Now, with Job Talk, here's Dean Logan.
And thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and for those of you tuning in to Job Talk for the first time, let me give you a little background on the program. See, when I first arrived in St. Pete a little over 3 years ago, I noticed that there were a lot of wonderful programs focused on the radio that were focused on finance, politics, and even cigars, but no one was really talking about jobs. And as I began recruiting candidates around the country for opportunities in the Tampa Bay area, I found that there was some hesitation on their part to accept a job here because they didn't really know what options were available to them if that particular opportunity didn't work out. I realized then that most people around the country have a perception of Tampa Bay of being a great vacation destination, which it is, but they didn't understand what a great place it is for technology jobs, service opportunities, manufacturing, real estate, and many other business sectors, including a great place for entrepreneurs who have the desire to succeed. So it's my goal with Job Talk to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone who is considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's really like to live, work, and play in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them a little bit better. And in the process, I have the opportunity to meet and talk with some very interesting people. My guests today definitely fit that profile. Joey French and Rachel Carpenter are entrepreneurs who have founded an exciting new startup they call Intrinio. Welcome, Rachel and Joey, to Job Talk.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. So let's start out by letting our listeners get to know you both on a personal level. Rachel, tell us a little bit about yourself up until the time you and Joey founded Intrinio. We'll start up, you know, where are you from?
Sure, absolutely. So Joey and I are actually both from Wisconsin. Escaped the tundra and made it down here. but we both went to UW-Madison, Wisconsin, for college. And believe it or not, I was a theater major when I first came to school. But then I started dabbling, experimenting with some business courses. And as nerdy as it sounds, I took my first finance class and absolutely fell in love with it. It just made sense to me. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I decided to switch my majors from the theater department to the business school. I ended up getting degrees in both finance and management. I was one class short of getting an entrepreneurship degree as well. Okay. And then I got minors in Spanish and European studies, so quite a bit. And I also was a Division I rower on the crew team while I was in school as well.
Wow.
Which was a huge challenge, but a lot of fun.
And did you compete?
Yes. Yeah, we were Big Ten champions my freshman year, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great. Congratulations.
Thank you. So Joey and I became friends in college and kind of shared a nerdy love of finance together, exchanging finance books. He was a year ahead of me, so he was helping me pick up my classes. And we became friends in the business school through that and through a couple of mutual friends. And then it was then that Joey showed me the prototype for what is our business today. And I started doing this right out of school. So I'm born and bleed entrepreneurship. I've never done anything else. I went to school and just hopped right into it right when I graduated. So.
Great. Enjoy. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I really started my entrepreneurial journey when I was actually in high school. I started an eBay business selling overstocked DVDs and consumer electronics on eBay. And this was really because I was working at a grocery store at the time, and I did not want to be working there. I wanted something that I could be creative and really learn what I wanted to do for the rest of my career. But once I got to college, my attention sort of shifted into, you know, focusing on my degrees, focusing on school. And I was in school for accounting and finance and went on to get my master's of accounting and also then became a CPA. I was working at a big accounting firm in Chicago, helping companies figure out what they're worth, their value. And from that, we sort of saw a couple opportunities that were pretty obvious when looking at the industry of things that needed innovation. And once we started focusing on how to bring that to the market, I had to quit and go full time on the venture.
Mm-hmm. So what made you want to be an entrepreneur?
I think it's just in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel knows firsthand, coming right out of college, you decide not to want to go to a company. And mm-hmm. Madison does very well in recruiting and getting you into prominent jobs at big companies. But if it's in your blood to be an entrepreneur, you know it, and you don't want to be in that type of system.
So did it help you to work for a large company at one time?
Oh, yeah. I've worked for 4 large companies now. Mm-hmm. I had 3 internships and then actually 4 internships and then wow. Was working full-time at the accounting firm after that.
Well, great. So, Rachel, you came out to St. Petersburg in advance of Joey.
I did. Joey was finishing up at his last job when he was ready to quit and come on full-time. So mm-hmm. as he was finishing that up, I flew down here ahead of him to kind of scope everything out, get integrated into the entrepreneurial community, network, look for office space, apartments for us and stuff. So mm-hmm. Just kind of to get the lay of the land mm-hmm. before he got down here.
So what did you actually, how did you decide on St. Petersburg as a destination for your business?
Sure. So my family actually lives here. They've lived here for about 7 years. My mom is a local business owner as well. And we knew for sure we couldn't stay. We were in Chicago after school. So we were in Chicago for a year. We just knew we couldn't stay there. Because when Joey quit his job, we went on full time. We wanted to bootstrap, and the cost of living in Chicago is insane, especially for a startup. So we knew it couldn't be Chicago. And then the question was, well, we can go anywhere while we're getting this thing off the ground. So why not go down where the weather is amazing and there's beaches?
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of connections down here as well through my mom and her businesses. So the cost of living, the community, that all kind of came together.
There were
together.
A couple bad winters, though. The winters before, so.
That's what really did it.
I understand completely. Jeez. Yeah, so what other advantages are there here in Florida? I know there's no state income tax. That must
well,
be helpful.
I'm a CPA, so that's like that's Rachel's talking about. Oh, the sunshine is a big factor. For me as a CPA, you can build a company and capture a lot more of the value by not having to pay income tax.
It's easy to get lost in a big city like Chicago as a startup as well, which is something that we've noticed here. Within a couple weeks, we were, arms wide open meeting with the mayor. We were up to meeting with the senior level management at Raymond James. Mm-hmm. the community kind of just opens their arms to you. It's a more open feeling here, and there's quicker connections into the companies and the CEOs and the resources and the things that you need to kind of support you as you're getting started. And that's something that you don't necessarily see in a bigger city like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very helpful in us getting off the ground.
So where are you now, and how'd you come to be in the office space you're in now?
Sure. So when we first moved down here, we were looking for something cheap, which is a challenge for most entrepreneurs. You have minimal funding and you need something reasonable. And we kind of scoped the lay of the land, and there were 2 or 3 organizations that really stood out as co-working or affordable space where you could be around other entrepreneurs and be in the right environment. So initially we went over to Tampa. We're huge St. Pete fans, and we wanted to be in St. Pete, but the Tampa Bay Wave was an organization that really made the most sense for us. And the people are great there. It was a great experience. We were there for a couple months. They were kind of like a startup as well, though, so they didn't have a ton of office space. They kind of, the only room that they had for us was in the middle of a big wide open room with everything in the open. So, mm-hmm. and we understand how that is because we're entrepreneurs too. So they were just getting started. So we spent a couple of months there until we got to the point where we really needed our own office. And then we ended up at the Poynter Institute back here in St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other entrepreneurs that we knew from the area had spoken with the people over at Poynter. They had a whole wing of the building open. And a bunch of really great office space. So with a couple other startups, we kind of ended up congregating in there.
And what does the Poynter Institute do there? What is that?
The Poynter Institute is a media studies college, and then the blanket organization owns the Tampa Bay Times. So it's a media studies school, basically.
And they have office space that's available for you?
They do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it reasonable as
It's very reasonable, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And a great location as well. We're actually currently expanding out of the Poynter because we're expanding as a company, so we're moving over to the Warehouse Arts District next week, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Mark Ayling, did you with him in that space there?
We're actually moving into the space with Genius Central, a tech company that just moved out there, has extra space and a big kind of cool-looking warehouse other startups to move into.
Okay, well, great. So, you know, what other kinds of organizations are available to entrepreneurs like yourself in St. Petersburg? Are there more than just the Wave?
Yeah, so we've actually pitched at 1 Million Cups now twice, mm-hmm. although I think we were only supposed to do it once, but we changed our name halfway, and so they...
That was a good excuse.
They gave an exception for us, but 1 Million Cups is really awesome. It's a place where every Wednesday there are two companies that pitch their startup or their company to the public and then get really good feedback. But really, it's just a place where entrepreneurs and people interested in entrepreneurship all congregate mm-hmm. every single week.
And they give you some advice, I think.
Oh, yeah. We've gotten great advice and great insight from people that, I mean, when you step back and you're like, holy crap, that was a good question.
It keeps you on your toes for sure, right?
Absolutely.
And it's packed usually.
Yeah, full house. Well, there's free Kawa coffee, so that might.
That helps. Right. All right. So, you know, some of those organizations work better, you know, for you than others. You know, tell me about what you were looking for and what works for you and doesn't work for you in those types of organizations. Just for other entrepreneurs that might be listening, you know, what kind of decisions did you make based on?
Absolutely. So we're big fans of the Kauffman Foundation, and they've put out a lot of research that proves any type of co-working entrepreneurial startup space is really only successful when it's entrepreneur-run and entrepreneur-led. Less like a corporation, less like a big organization, you know, with a manager, per se. So more of a very, like, organic situation is what actually breeds successful companies when they're working together and collaborating individually on their own. So that's the kind of environment that we wanted. These larger organizations like the Tampa Bay Wave and the Tampa Bay Innovation Center are great for some startups. They give you a lot of support, resources, kind of like programming, almost classes and advisors and mentors. So if you're real early stage and you're just getting started, that can be great for you. But us, together with a couple other local startups, really wanted a more organic, entrepreneur-driven type of space to work in together. So that's what worked for us. And that's what we kind of built over at the Poynter Institute. And a couple of us are now just expanding into a bigger space to continue that.
And so your journey into your company, you actually took some time to develop some skills that you didn't have going into it. You know, tell us about that.
Absolutely. So we got to the point where our prototype was actually built in Microsoft Excel, not a product that you can sell on the market. Mm-hmm. Microsoft wouldn't be too happy about that, I don't think. So we realized we needed to basically build our prototype into the web, which requires web development skills. And Joey had a little bit of background in VBA development and things like that. I had zero computer background at all. Mm-hmm. So we realized we can either partner with a big firm to help us build this, develop it out, or we can just figure it out ourselves. And that's a mentality that has been absolutely crucial to us in building this company is, you know, there's nothing you can't figure out if you don't really try. We came from a finance background, and we're now full, both advanced web developers as well. So we took that year we were in Chicago to really teach ourselves how to build it, and we were able to do it ourselves.
Self-taught.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think at the core of being an entrepreneur is just that experimental mindset. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, going into a task or a job of some sort, and even if you don't know all the fundamentals on how it works, you're willing to go into it and learn. And I mean, web development was just one example for us. I mean, mm-hmm. everything from marketing our startup. I mean, I had no marketing experience.
I got a C in marketing, okay. And I'm now in charge of marketing for our company. So,
but you
gotta
learn.
You gotta learn. Yeah.
It's all. I mean, it's all about experimenting and learning. Once you experiment something and you see the results from it, you can digest it and take that next step forward. And that's been a general theme that we've observed both in our personal trajectories as well as our company.
Great. So let's talk about Intrinio. I'm always interested in learning how people got their name. And you mentioned that you changed your name at Million Cups or so.
Yep.
So what did it start out as and how did you come up with Intrinio?
So our company name was Tribunet, and this was a entity that was created after the French Revolution and basically was an advocate for the people, like a tribune, and eventually Napoleon didn't want that, so he got rid of that. But it was an artifact of history that we wanted to, that embodied what we were building.
Kind of a complicated explanation. You can see why I was pushing to change the name.
And so how did you come up with Intrinio?
So Intrinio, what we help investors and entrepreneurs do is figure out the intrinsic value of companies, the inherent worth of a company. So we took the name Intrinsic, we took off the last part of it and made it Intrinio, or IO, and IO stands for input-output. So you input assumptions into the model and you output the intrinsic value, so Intrinio.
Great. So I'm looking at your website, and I'd like to go through some of it, and so other people that might be looking at it kind of get a feel for what you're doing. And so it talks about access data, value companies, and collaborating. Can you talk about that?
Sure. So the access data, we built a process that pulls in public financial data, which is available to everybody, but it's a complete mess. Most of the larger data firms that provide that financial data to investors employ a really manual approach to standardize and clean up all of that data. And what we did is built a process that pulls all that data in automatically and standardizes it and spits it back out in a much more usable and organized comparable form to investors. So we have a data feed to provide that financial data to entrepreneurs, investors, larger companies, a multitude of different people. So you can access all that data just individually. And then we also use that data to power a valuation engine that we built online. So it's really the first of its kind to do a job that is normally done in Excel in a much more automated, flexible, and very transparent way on the web. So you input a ticker of a company that you're interested in valuing, and the model, leveraging all this data that I'm talking about, basically spits out an intrinsic value of the company and tells you what the company is actually worth, the inherent intrinsic value of the company. So there's the data, there's the valuation, which uses the data, and then there's the collaboration aspect, which is similar to what some people might know of as a seeking alpha, where you can write a stock report, basically, about your valuation, post that to an exchange, and then exchange those stock reports back and forth with other users on the site.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about standardized fundamental data,
mm-hmm.
you know, and talk a little bit more about that.
Sure. So not everybody files their financial statements exactly the same. So for example, Oracle, which you guys are familiar with here at Eagle Datagistics, Oracle has like 7 or 9 different revenue line items on their statement. So if you're programmatically pulling in financial statements to compare Oracle to a different company, it's not just revenues versus revenues, because the line items on the financial statement are completely different across industries, across companies. Even within one company, quarter to quarter, they might file their statements differently. So it's really just a big mess because there's no standard way to file your financial statements. Mm-hmm. So using Joey's CPA expertise, we basically built checks and balances kind of in the background to go through all these statements and make sure that they're completely standardized. But it happens automatically within 2 minutes of when a company files their financial statements. All that data is available to our users, completely standardized and cleaned up.
And what's as reported fundamentals data?
So that's the raw data that is coming in directly from the SEC, but we provide a more structured way to get that into an application.
Okay. And the historical stock price data?
Yep, we provide historical stock prices back to the 70s for some companies, so quite a bit of data, and then we have 15-minute delayed stock prices as well.
Great. And you also provide company information?
Yep. And that's just basic, you know, number of employees, CEO, basic description, company name, just all that basic information about a company you can pull in as well.
Any other company metrics that you provide for them?
Yeah, we have hundreds. Yeah. We have about 120 valuation, profitability, growth, just all different kinds of margins and ratios as well.
Really? And what kind of economic data do you provide for them?
So we directly tap the Federal Reserve economic data, and they are getting data from all different government sources, and all that data is available through our service as well.
Really? And, you know, on your website, it talks about API, you know? For those that don't know what an API means, what is that?
Sure. Joey built it, so he can tell you that.
All right. So an API allows a programmer to get this data into any type of application they're building.
What's API stand for?
Application Programmatic Interface.
Okay.
And this is no like financial analyst or just an end user would want to use the API. We have other ways for them to access the data, but an API is really valuable for developers who want flexible access to data. And then can build different types of analysis mechanisms with it or build applications with it, which is what's really valuable for a lot of our users.
And what's an Excel add-in?
So that's basically a wrapper for the API. So the end user, less on the development side and more on, you know, your financial advisor, your analyst, somebody like that who works in Excel and they want the data in Excel. It's an add-in that you basically download into Excel. And it basically wraps the API, so you can pull the data through the API directly into Excel. But it's much easier. It's not actual programming. You type in a cell, and you basically say what data you want to flow in. You press Enter, and the data automatically populates
into
that cell.
So, for example, if I wanted Apple 2014 fiscal year revenues in a certain cell in Excel, we have our Excel add-in is able to automatically tap our API and then get that data delivered into the exact cell that you want.
Great. And what's a Google Sheets add-on?
Same thing as the Microsoft add-in, but it's Google's version for their Google Sheets. And we're the only financial data provider on Google Sheets right now.
Wow.
Which is pretty huge for, you know, analysts or people that are traveling. You can pull up your phone, your tablet, or your desktop cross-platform anywhere and get this, you know, on the plane even if you wanted to.
Is that the unlimited access part of it?
Yeah, so the amount of times that you call the API to pull data in, that's unlimited for each of the different plans that we have. So some data providers is kind of a la carte where they only let you call so many different data points, but ours is unlimited for monthly.
Great. So my guests today are Joey French and Rachel Carpenter, the founders of Intrinio. And I want to talk about the types of groups and individuals who will use your service and the pricing for each of them, if you will. You talk about individual investors. You know, so tell me about why should they use your service and,
right,
and what can you provide to them?
Sure. So somebody like you or anybody who buys their own stocks, not so much somebody who's going to buy an ETF or a portfolio or have a manager, somebody who's individually picking their own stocks. The data that we provide historically really hasn't been available outside of the professional market because it's so expensive. And because we're doing it at such a disruptively cheap price using automation, now individual investors actually do have access and can get affordable access to this data. So just any individual person who's looking to buy a stock that doesn't have the resources that the big firms have, mm-hmm, can come to us and get it for just $25 a month.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And how about for professional investors?
So professionals, they traditionally are subscribing to services like Bloomberg or Standard & Poor's Capital IQ or FactSet or Morningstar. There's these huge companies, and they charge anywhere from $1,000 per month to $2,500 a month. Mm. And we are making our data feed available to professional investors for only $100 per month.
And do they get a better service, or
yeah,
what do they get for that?
Some of them, they get more offerings than we currently offer, but what's really cool is, I mean, we're actually innovating. A lot of these bigger companies, they don't need to innovate. They've been selling the same product for decades now, mm-hmm, and, I mean, us being innovative, we're listening to our customers and understanding what they want and understanding how we can deliver them a superior product over time.
And you, one of your target marketing areas is startups, too?
Yeah, that's recently been a really interesting target for us, and they've actually been coming to us. So any type of startup that's building any financial app, you know, like a stock charting app or an app you can pull up your phone, anything financial related that they need financial data for, they're kind of closer to the same boat of the individual investor. I mean, we've been there. We're a startup. You're not going to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for access to these data feeds from a large firm. And on top of that, most of these big firms don't offer you redistribution rights. They only let you use the data internally. So these startups want to display it on their own apps that they're building. They don't have an option, and they either have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for these big data feeds or just figure out something else. So we offer startup pricing at just $200 a month. up until a certain point when you're generating so much revenues or you've taken on enough investment that you're not really a startup anymore, then we start doing custom pricing for them. But, you know, we've been there. We're a startup ourselves. So just $200 a month for them to get access and immediately start redistributing it through their apps.
And you talk about enterprises on your website. How do you evaluate what they'll be charged?
So. Yeah, that's a tougher one to do. We actually just closed a sale with a big Fortune 50 company to use the data, but they were using it pretty internally. So, you know, we can monitor how often they're calling the data. We can look at, you know, what capacity they're using it. Is it internal? Is it external? Are they just using it inside the company? Are they redistributing it? You know, how many people will be using it? We can kind of monitor all of that and do an assessment of that ahead of time to figure out the custom pricing for a larger organization.
And you also offer your services to universities. That sounds exciting. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we have been working with universities really since we started beta testing our product. We've been working with the University of South Florida, University of Tampa, and then various other universities all throughout the United States. And we've gotten great feedback from them on, they're in the same boat that this is really expensive data. Otherwise, if we can figure out a way to deliver it in a better user experience and cheaper, this is something that is really key for the university market. And one of the things we realized with that was we went down to Florida Gulf Coast University and we said, oh, here's our product with the Excel add-in. And at that time, it was only compatible on Windows, but half of the students had a Mac computer. Mm-hmm. So we went home. 2 weeks later, we released a Mac version of our Excel add-in. And now we're the only financial data provider that offers Mac support on Excel.
And so many students have Macs now. Mm-hmm. We also just started working with Harvard Business School as well and providing their students' data. So even, you know, larger universities like that that you think would have a lot of resources, their resources aren't as flexible as ours. So they're looking into using ours as well.
Well, that's great. So my guests today are Joey French and Rachel Carpenter, founders of Intrinio. Let's talk about your growth. How many people do you have working for you now?
Sure. So it started out with just Joey and I doing everything for a couple of years. And then we recently brought on Connor Farley as our director of business development. So he's been working kind of the sales business development side of things. And we brought on two interns as well.
So tell me about Connor's background. I think he's also a graduate of the same school as you.
Yep. He graduated from University of Wisconsin-Madison with degrees in economics and international studies. And then he got his master's in project management from LSU. Lots of experience. He worked at the Chicago Board of Trade, worked for a couple financial institutions, but also has a lot of experience in sales, more so than Joey and I. We've got more of the finance background, but he's actually worked at a couple pretty large sales organizations. So he brings that to the table, which was something that we were kind of missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you talk about interns. So what does an intern do at Intrinio?
Sure.
So we are sitting on a mountain of data right now, and for really just Rachel and I to digest all that data, it's quite the task. So we brought on two data quality analysts that are helping us, find errors, find issues in our data set, and then help us figure out ways to fix that data.
Mm-hmm. And where did they come from?
One from USF and one from USF St. Pete, both accounting majors.
Well, that's great. And what are your future plans for hiring?
Sure. So it's the, I guess, five of us. We're about to bring on two additional salespeople starting within the next 30 days. So we'll be up to seven. And then our next focus, once we've got, three or four people working sales pretty heavily, is to bring on a developer, which is one challenge, I would say, about jobs here in Florida, is finding the right developer, because our technology is built on Ruby as a framework, and there's a lot more .NET and Windows developers down here. So that will be a challenge for us to find a really good, high-quality Ruby developer and a front-end developer to come on.
I know a good recruiter might be able to help
you.
So, you never know. But and so this brings us to the interview tip of the week, and I'll ask the question to both of you. Mm-hmm. If someone applies to a position at Intrinio, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Sure.
Rachel, let's start with you.
So like we were talking about earlier, our company is really built on a foundation of what we like to call willingness to fail. it's the only reason that we've been able to get where we are and build everything so quickly and so cheaply and bring it to market. And the success that we've had so far is really because of that. So taking that year and just learning development, doing something that is kind of scary that you've never done before because it just needs to get done. And the mindset of just figuring it out. And if you fail, that's good because it takes 6 or 7 fails to get a success most of the time. So really to employ that mentality is important to be a part of our team, to take the risks and do the things, even though you know you're probably going to fail, and not being scared to do that because that's when progress really happens.
And so that's a quality you look for in the people that you're going to be hiring?
Absolutely.
Okay. And Joy, what kind of advice would you give to people that are going to apply to Internio?
For me, I really like to see tenacity. I like to see someone that is driven, that really, once they focus on a certain task, you know they're going to do it, and they're going to do it really well, and they're going to take something away from that. And I mean, as a startup, there's so many times when a roadblock or something stops you from your current path, and having the ambition to continue carrying on and still focus on carrying out the task, that is something that, I mean, it's what has made us, and I think it's a huge trait going forward for people that we want to bring on to Internio.
Yeah, self-motivation.
Great. You know, I only have a couple more questions. The time's gone by very quickly, which is great. And you know, as an entrepreneur in a young company, are you looking for investors?
Absolutely, yes. We raised our first round, which was a friends and family round about a year and a half ago, that kind of funded the food on the table and getting everything built and brought to market. Uh-huh. And we're currently raising a $500,000 seed round. We've closed about 150 of that locally with a couple lead investors here, and we're talking to a couple different groups. We've had to branch out a little bit out to the east and west coast, mm-hmm. going through some due diligence right now, but there is about 350 left in our current round that we're looking for investors for.
That's great. And if anyone wants to learn more about Internio, you know, how can they do that?
Sure. So if you go to our website, you can contact us there. There's a little contact button, or you can email us at admin@intrinio.com. @intrinio.com. That's Intrinio.
And what is the website address?
www.intrinio.com.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a Twitter or Facebook, or can
yeah,
I get you there too?
It's facebook.com/intrinio, and our Twitter handle is Intrinio, just mm-hmm. @intrinio.
Okay. Yep. Well, great. Well, listen, guys, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thank you.
This was very informative, and good luck with what you're doing. I know you're going to be very successful.
Thank you. Thanks for the chance to tell you guys a little bit about it.
Well, I appreciate it. So my guests today have been Joey French and Rachel Carpenter, founders of Internio, an exciting new startup in St. Petersburg with a great future ahead of them. So be sure to check out their website and contact them if you want more information on their products, services, and upcoming job opportunities, or if you want to invest. Definitely check them out. And now it's time for the Job Talk alumni update. Mark Guthrie of Create3D reminds us of his upcoming tech camp, which will be taking place on Monday, August 3rd through Thursday, August 6th. For more information, please visit Mark's website at www.create-3d.biz. That's create-3d.biz. You can download the flyer and sign up for his tech camp. And our friends in Job Talk alumni at John Collins at the Arts Alliance, Barb Kies of Action Coach, Al Carnavicius of Bayprint, Ashby Green and Pamela Sherberg of Kobe Marketing, Mike Sutton of Habitat for Humanity of Pinellas County, and Chuck Egerter of Eagle Data Logistics, and St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman have all been nominated for the Good Burger Award, recognizing the best in St. Pete. This event is sponsored by the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce, and the voting will take place online July 20th through August 21st. So be sure to vote, and good luck to all of you. And the sponsor of this program, Eagle Data Justice, is looking for candidates with advanced Oracle DBA and developer skills, and right now they have a critical need for advanced PLSQL developer. You can send your resumes to me at deanlogan@radiosaintpete.com, and I'll be sure to get your resume to the right folks. And the shout-outs today go to Vinny DeFerro in Tampa Bay. It was great to be introduced to you, and I look forward to your appearance on Job Talk on August 5th. And to Gus in St. Petersburg, welcome to the area from Georgia. I look forward to meeting you at the next SUG meeting. And to my guest next week, Kevin Hull of HD Interactive. That 3D experience was incredible, and I really look forward to sharing your technology with our listeners next week. And I want to thank you all for listening to Job Talk and for tuning in to RadioSaintPete.com. You should check out the great music, including local musicians who are featured here. There are new shows in production as the website keeps getting better. You can choose your favorite style of music 24 hours a day, including Maine oldies, jazz, and classical. And other interesting programs you might enjoy are the live broadcasts like the Suncoast Tiger Bay Luncheon. This week on Friday, July 24th, Brian Ault, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays Baseball Organization, will be the guest speaker. It sounds like it's going to be a great, really interesting presentation there. So tune in here at 12 noon until 1 p.m. for the live broadcast. And you'll enjoy listening to Will Koontz as he hosts the Homemade broadcast at 6 p.m. on Sundays, and the Indie Circuit with Mao airs on Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. So be sure to check out the website often and see what's new. And you can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. So check it out. That's RadioSaintPete.com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests on Job Talk. And you can send those suggestions to me at DeanLogan@RadioSaintPete.com. I really look forward to your comments and suggestions. And I want to take this time to thank Joe, Chuck, Richard, Hari, my engineers Dan and Sean, and all the Eagles for their help. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening, and until next time, when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You have been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSaintPete.com and Eagle Datagistics. Eagle Datagistics is one of the premier Oracle Gold partners on the East Coast, providing hardware and software sales, data recovery, DBA services, and recruiting. With more than 10 years in business, Eagle Datagistics in downtown St. Petersburg. Job Talk with Dean Logan came to you live from our studios inside Eagle Datagistics on the 10th floor of the Plaza Tower in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSaintPete.com.